Yasonanandana Vrajajana Ranjana Jamunathira Vanachari Jamunathira Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Hare, Krishna Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Charya Stotasa Sri Simad Sri Madhesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Charya Stotasa Sri Simad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Prem Sekho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Sri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Sri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Gangamai Ki Jai Yumunamai ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Brihat Madanga ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. The reading today is from Canto 10, Chapter 10, Text 14. It's the deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna trees, and Narada Muni is speaking. Okay. Yatha Kantaka Vidango Jantor Ne Chatitam Vyatham Jiva samyam gato lingayar Natata vita kantakaha Yatha kantaka vidhango Janto ne chatitam vyatam Jiva samyam gato lingayar Natatha vitakantakaha. Yatha kantaka vidhango. Jantone chatitam vyatham. Jiva samyam gato lingar. Natatha vitakantakaha. Okay. Yatha kantaka vidango. Jantone chantitam vyatham. Jiva samyam gato linga. Natatha vidakantaka. Yatha kantaka vidango. Jantune chatitam vyatham. Jiva samyam gato linga. Natatha vidakantaka. Yatha kantaka vidango. Jantone chatitam vyatham. Jiva samyam gato lingar. Natatha vidakantaka. Yatha, just as kantaka vidanga, a person whose body has been pinpricked, jantoho, of such an animal, na, not, icchati, desires, tam, a particular, vyatham, pain, jiva samyam, gataha. When he understands that the position is the same for everyone. Lingai. By possessing a particular type of body. Na. Not. Tatha. So. Avida kantaka. A person who has not been pinpricked. Translation, by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. By seeing their faces, I'll read it through and then do bit by bit. I'll do a bit by bit and then read it through? Bit by bit, okay. By seeing their faces, one whose body has been pricked by pins, can understand the pain of others. Who are pinpricked. Realizing that this pain is the same for everyone. He does not want others to suffer in this way. But one who has never been pricked by pins cannot understand this pain. Okay, translation again. By seeing their faces, one whose body has been pricked by pins can understand the pain of others who are pinpricked, realizing that this pain is the same for everyone. He does not want others to suffer in this way. But one who has never been pricked by pins cannot understand this pain. by seeing their faces, one whose body has been pricked by pins can understand the pain of others who are pinpricked. Realizing that this pain is the same for everyone, he does not want others to suffer in this way. But one who has never been pricked by pins cannot understand this pain. By seeing their faces, one whose body has been pricked by pins can understand the pain of others who are pinpricked. Realizing that this pain is the same for everyone, he does not want others to suffer in this way. But one who has never been pricked by pins cannot understand this pain. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There is a saying, the happiness of wealth is enjoyable by a person who has tasted the distress of poverty. There is also another common saying, Vandya ki buji be prasava vedanta. A woman who has not given birth to a child cannot understand the pain of childbirth. Unless one comes to the platform of actual experience, one cannot realize what is pain and what is happiness in this material world. The laws of nature act accordingly. If one has killed an animal, one must himself be killed by the same animal. That is called mamsa. Mamsa means me, and sa means he. As I am eating an animal, that animal will have the opportunity to eat me. In every state, therefore, it is ordinarily the custom that if a person commits murder, he is hanged. A sense of purport by Srila Prabhupada. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam mudirayet svinvatam svakatha krishna punya sravana kirtana Ridyantasto hyabhadrani idunoti suhritsatam nastraprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yutamasloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regular attendance in the classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So this is actually a wonderful verse and a wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada for this verse. It's a verse that everyone can understand and everybody knows, and yet it is here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the highest knowledge for elevating all mankind, and it's a very simple truth. It's the fact that unless you've actually suffered yourself, you are not able to understand the suffering of others. And also Prabhupada in the purport flips that, and he says, you can only enjoy wealth if you have actually tasted poverty. And that goes along with the statement of Narada Muni that without being experiencing suffering, you won't understand what you're doing to others when you cause that pain. So, although this verse was spoken by Narada Muni to Nalakuvera and Manigriva, who had just emerged from the river of the Ganges naked in front of him, Prabhupada makes this particular verse relevant to animal slaughter. And he says in the purport that if one has killed an animal, one himself must be killed by that same animal. So it's the it's a very interesting thing that we have at the moment with a virus which originated from animals, from the meat-eating industry, and we can see that the whole world is actually suffering because of one small virus which originated from an animal which was being helplessly killed. And it's not the first time either. Here Prabhupada says, the laws of nature act. If he has killed an animal, one must be killed by that same animal. And these diseases that come from animal slaughter are a proof of Srila Prabhupada's words, that these animals are creating deadly viruses that are getting worse. For instance, it's decided now that 3 out of 4 diseases which come to humanity originate from animals. Influenza came from chickens, chicken flu. HIV, which was a great scourge, is said to have originated from eating chimpanzees. Ebola comes from eating bats. BSE, mad cow disease, which went into the human population in the UK, came from the cruelty in rearing cows for meat, and feeding them their own meat as food, causing mad cow disease to happen in the UK. Swine flu came from the US. It's originated in a particular farm in the US. And we all know currently the world has got the most virulent form has come from COVID-19, which they think originated in a meat market where people were eating pangolins. So it's nothing to do with any particular country. It's due to every country which has got meat eating on a big scale. These diseases are coming worldwide. And this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam is very interesting, because in the verse before, that Prabhuji gave the verse before, if I could just read it, it's prophetic. And we can all understand what's happening from the verse before. It says, atheistic fools and rascals who are very much proud of wealth fail to see things as they are. Therefore, returning them to poverty is the proper ointment for their eyes, so they may see things as they are. At least a poverty-stricken man can realize how painful poverty is, and therefore he will not want others to be in painful condition like his own. So that verse is very interesting, because at the moment, with all the major countries in the world on lockdown, it's going to have a very serious effect on the wealth of nations, especially if it goes on much longer. So, because of wealth, before all the wealth came to China, they were actually living on a much healthier, good diet. They weren't living on unhealthy diets like in America and Western countries, where they consume a lot of meat. And so having wealth has a direct correlation with how people live unnecessarily. Eating meat is very much more expensive than eating grains, because you have to grow grains, and if you consume the grains, you get the full value of the grains. But if you feed those grains to animals to eat them, half of the food value goes into those animals' own growth, and you eat only just a little bit of the value of the grains at the end. So wholesale meat eating is connected to wealth. we can already see that it's having a knock-on effect. If you've got wealth and you don't know how to spend it properly, then it'll be taken away. So it could be part of the plan of nature, which would be a very kind plan, to take the wealth of nations away so they don't get caught up in the four regulative principles, which are no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication, which we can see are directly related to people having more money and no direction in how to spend it. So this instruction by Narada Muni is actually a very good lesson for us today. He saw Manigriva and Nalakuvera. They were demigods, and they were covering with young ladies in the Ganges River. And they came out to see Narada Muni with no clothes on, which is actually very embarrassing, because they would have been with a lot of young girls. You don't have an idea, were they in a state of arousal when they came out? It's a very embarrassing and gross idea to have. But the whole picture is not given in Srimad Bhagavatam of exactly what. But one can understand that Narada Muni, it's not the sort of thing you do in front of a saintly person. Narada Muni is amazing in that when he was confronted by this, he was not at all disturbed. And the proof of that is how beautifully he's speaking, how well reasoned his arguments are, and what a wonderful conclusion he gives, and how unenvious he is that instead of cursing Nalakuvera and Manigriva, he blessed them with good instruction and the darshan of Lord Krishna. So that's the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee, is that a devotee doesn't give up his transcendental position like Narada Muni doesn't, and is always understanding Manikuvera, Nalakuvera, Manigriva are transcendental spirit souls. Because of their karma, those eternal spirit souls have taken birth in a rich family. But instead of being elevated, they're becoming degraded. The proof for that is that they're standing in front of me naked, like animals. How can I help them? Not, how dare they do this to me? Just, how can I help them appropriately? And we see this wonderful behavior by Narada Muni as well, when the sons of the Yadu dynasty come in front of him and pretend to be pregnant and ask him to tell them the gender of the baby, like he's some sort of cheap sadhu who tells people their fortune. So Narada Muni also worked that situation to fulfill the desire of Lord Krishna that after he left, he'll have no descendants left on the earth. So similarly, he cursed the Yadu dynasty to be destroyed by the object they're carrying, pretending it was a baby. So Narada Muni is very... We heard last night in Krishna book, when we were reading it, Krishna book's on every night from 6:45 to 7:30. And we heard how Narada Muni, wanting to accelerate the advent of Lord Krishna, encouraged Kamsa to kill all the children of Vasudeva and Devaki as they got born, which is very, very difficult to understand. So how Narada Muni manages to have the courage to do these seemingly terrible interventions that he does, he must have some really very close hotline to Krishna to be able to come and do these things. It's an amazing situation. So here we've got Narada Muni coming across Manigriva Nalakuvera and giving them this benediction. He can see that because of their wealth, they've lost their intelligence. He wants them to understand what it's like to be vulnerable, to not have all the wealth and all those things, to become humble again, to lose their false pride. And thus he's about to give them a curse. And Srila Prabhupada also very, very well uses this whole purport from Srimad Bhagavatam to remind us that we are also in the same situation as Manigriva and Nalakuver, in that we have forgotten the pain we give to others, and therefore we are tolerating slaughterhouses. It's very difficult when you're eating meat to understand the pain of the animals that you are killing. It's even though when a calf is taken away from the cow is crying and where's my calf, and the calf is looking for the mother. Even though we can see that, we don't consider, if I left my mother, I would be crying, or if my mother lost me, she would be in tears. That the tears in the eyes are not a chemical reaction. There's actually an emotion, feeling going there that I can relate to. And in this verse, this is a very fantastic verse, it says, by seeing their faces, you could relate that to by seeing the faces of the cow and the calf when the calf is taken away. By seeing their faces, one whose body has been pricked by pins can understand the pain of others. Even though we've all been children of mothers, and many of us have been mothers of children, and we know what the feeling is to see your child taken away or even go away to school for the first time. You're worried about the child. Even though we have been pricked by pins, we still don't care. So meat-eating society, even though we know what pain is and we can see the pain in the faces of the animals, even though we've seen that in our own lives, we still slaughter them. Even though we know what it's like to die, and you see the animals in the slaughterhouse, they are very fearful of what's going to happen to them, and they know and they're trying to escape. Even though they know what is happening, they're trying to get away, and we know what it's like if someone is trying to kill us. We feel the same pain. But even though we see the same pain on the face of animals, we're not worried about it and we continue to slaughter them. And you do hear stories from people in slaughterhouses that it does get to them eventually. If people who work in slaughterhouses, it does get to them. But for us now, we can see in videos and other things what suffering goes on for animals. And any intelligent people who've got any feeling at all will want to actually say, this is wrong, we shouldn't be eating meat. And we can see that it's not just wrong, even if you just take it without thinking of the human diseases that nature is giving us, HIV, COVID, swine flu, even without all those diseases, we shouldn't actually cause pain to other creatures. And that's why Gandhi said, there comes a point in every religion where you'll actually understand that killing animals and birds and fish, that it's wrong. And it's just a moral, it is a moral conclusion to any sort of moral teaching. Eventually, you will not want to cause unnecessary suffering to other creatures, and you will be vegetarian. It's not a Krishna conscious thing, it's not a particular a Hindu thing or anything like that. It's a thing that people who actually are human beings, who've got some sort of sense of their own worth and the do not want to cause unnecessary distress to others. It's part of just being an ordinary gentleman or a lady, that when you see the pain caused to animals and the cruelty, then you won't want to pursue that course. You won't want to eat meat. So that's the Srimad Bhagavatam is, this verse is so nice. So I'll just read it again. By seeing their faces, one whose body has been pricked by pins can understand the pain of others who are pinpricked. Realizing that this pain is the same for everyone, he does not want others to suffer in this way. That is very good. So if you feel the pain yourself, you don't want others to feel it. And Prabhupada in the purport, he says, the laws of nature act accordingly. If one has killed an animal, then one must be killed by the same animal. As I am eating an animal, that animal will have the opportunity to eat me. And then Srila Prabhupada goes on to say, in every state, therefore, it is ordinarily the custom that if a person commits murder, he is hanged. So here Srila Prabhupada directly draws a line between killing an animal and killing a person. He goes straight from one sentence into the other. He's not making a distinction. He says, therefore, in every state, it is ordinarily the custom that if a person commits murder, he is hanged. And in the purport he says, if one has killed an animal, he must himself be killed by the same animal. So there's no distinction in this verse between killing a person and killing an animal. And Prabhupada really must feel very strongly about this, because in the verse it is talking really about Manigriva Nalakuver, and it's saying, if you've been picked by pins, you can understand the pain of others who are pinpricked. And others includes everyone. The cow being separated from the calf being separated from the mother, the little baby snake lying in the middle of the road, not realizing it can get run over by a car, and the mother fretting on the side of the road, wondering what's happening to her baby snake. And it's not a transmission of human traits onto animals. It is actually just a recognition of human traits, a recognition of living entity traits in everyone. Love for children, love for parents, fear of death, fear of pain. These are not human traits. These are traits that are part, they are signs of life. Whether you've got a human body, whether you've got an animal body, even whether you've got a tree body, these are actually symptoms of life. And to without any reason or argument, to say that these traits are human traits when we see them in all animals and birds and fish, when we see the same traits in all of these creatures, to then describe them as being human traits is it's not a logical conclusion. It's not justifiable. That the things we think are human, like love, affection, motivation, fear, they're in all living creatures, and just as we respond to them, we should not want to cause them unnecessarily in other creatures. So it's actually a wonderful purport. It's always nice to be reminded, whatever the verse is, that we are excuse me. I just like to point out to anyone, to our viewers, that everyone in the room is observing social distancing. In Mayapur, even in class, we've got a very small class. We're keeping very small gatherings here. In the temple downstairs, there's just a small group, a kirtan group, all the time, and people are observing washing their hands regularly. We're taking it very seriously, keeping 2 meters apart. People are being controlled coming onto the campus and off the campus, where people have their own homes. They're staying in those homes. they're observing self. It's not self-isolation, self. I've forgotten the word. Quarantine. They're observing self-quarantine, thank you. So people are largely observing it very well. I think the nearest coronavirus case to Sridhar Mayapur is about 20 miles now. It's getting closer. So people have to be very careful. There's no public coming here at the moment. Everything is on shutdown. Some devotees, I had a young girl came up near the entrance, a side entrance, and she said, "Can I come in? I just want to see the deities." I said, "Well, normally it'd be okay, but there's sort of like a worldwide crisis going on, and we should take it a little bit seriously that if you don't have permission to come, don't come." And she told me, "Don't you know there's no real virus? It's just made up by the media." And I told her, she was very, very stupid. And to say something like that, she's not only endangering herself, she's endangering other people as well. And then I continued while she was walking away, berating the young lady, calling her stupid. So this is the difference between me and Narada Muni. When Narada Muni is confronted by two very, very stupid sons of Kuvera coming out of the Ganga, he doesn't go to the sons of Kuvera and say, "You stupid, stupid, stupid boys, you're bathing in the Ganges, you're coming out of the water naked like that, what are you thinking? You stupid people, you get some clothes on immediately. Don't let me ever see you here again." But Narada Muni is so cool. Narada Muni is so wonderful. He comes up with, how many verses did he come up with? He came up with about 20, 30 verses. In the heat of the moment, you cannot speak like Narada Muni if you've got 1 ounce of anger in you. He came up with 20 verses that 5,000 years later we're still reading because they are so rich in spiritual instruction. That's Narada Muni. And we wonder, how come Narada Muni was able to tell Kamsa to kill all of Krishna's younger brothers before Krishna appeared and get away with it? Because Narada Muni is Narada Muni. He is unbelievable. And this verse, as I say, this whole section is proof of it. What he said, and when he spoke to Manigriva Nala Kuvera, it may have been further than 5,000 years ago, because they came as the Yamala trees in Krishna Lila. So it could have been quite a while before that they were cursed by Narada Muni, and Narada Muni spoke these words. So these words are, it says, "By regular attendance in classes of the Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed." And that's because the standard of the Bhagavatam is timeless. It's got instructions from more than 5,000 years ago that are still totally relevant today. The material world has not changed in the last 10 million years. It is still the same place. Dukalayam Shashvatam, a place of misery where repeated birth and death take place. The living entity has not suddenly become his body in the course of time. We all have material bodies which are not us, but our real identity is as a spirit soul, the son of Lord, children of Lord Krishna. He's our real father. And we temporarily identify with being demigods like Manigriva and Nala Kuvera. We temporarily identify with being ourselves as we are in the room. We think we are a man. We think we are young. we think we are old, we think we are a woman, we think we are Irish, we think we are Scottish, we think we are English, and we think we are from China, or we may be from Russia. We think all these misleading things, and yet humanity has got the responsibility, because it can understand the Srimad Bhagavatam and higher truths, has got the responsibility of looking after all those living entities who are dependent on our mercy, the animals, the birds, the fish. So humanity is at a very big tipping point now. There has never been more animal slaughter. We're using all our machinery that we developed to kill animals quicker. Because of our wealth, we've got a far bigger demand for meat. So I do believe there is a turning point coming, which will be wonderful. It's not the end of the world. More people now are becoming vegetarian than ever before. So like Manigriva and Nalakuvera were cursed by Narada Muni, but it turned out to be the greatest blessing. And they stopped doing their nonsense. They learned their lesson. So let's hope what's happening now is let's hope that humanity has been cursed also by someone like Narada Muni. And the punishment we're getting with all these animal diseases is going to result in a change in our behavior, and that we're going to be able to look forward to a brighter, more spiritual future for everybody. So I think that is that's what the hope is from this particular verse that Narada Muni is speaking to Manigriva Nalakuvera. It's a very uplifting pastime. They were doing something grossly wrong. So let's hope that humanity in this very dark hour, this is not the dark hour. The dark hour is when humanity is slaughtering millions and millions of creatures and nothing is happening. That's the dark hour. So let's hope out of this something very wonderful will come. And it is supposed to. The most we can do to hasten the arrival of Lord Krishna, as Narada Muni hastened the arrival of Lord Krishna by having Kamsa kill all his younger brothers, the best we can do is chant Hare Krishna, for one. That's very important. When you chant Hare Krishna, you may have a vow to chant 16 rounds, but actually you shouldn't think those 16 rounds are just for yourself. When you chant Hare Krishna, your rounds, when you're doing them, they benefit your parents, because they gave you the body with which you chant. They benefit your grandparents. They also benefit people in your previous life, because if you weren't looked after in your previous life, you wouldn't have taken your current body. So it benefits all people around you. It also benefits the country you're in, because whether it allows you to practice Krishna consciousness to a limited extent, or whether it allows you to practice Krishna consciousness to a larger extent, it's still allowing you to chant Hare Krishna and benefit others. And you also are able to read the books. So it benefits everyone where you are. And if you don't chant and try and distribute this knowledge in a safe, according to what's a safe way to distribute this knowledge wherever you live, if you don't do those, then you are seeing the faces of the cow having her calf taken away, and you're seeing the face of the calf being taken away from its mother. When you know what that pain is, and you don't do anything about it, because you don't have to stand out in a crowd to think of Krishna all day. You don't have to stand out in a crowd to be able to chant Hare Krishna in your home or read Srila Prabhupada's books. You don't have to stand out in a crowd at all. But just by doing these things sends its benefit in all directions. It's not just for you. And if you can, try and bring other people to Krishna consciousness. And if you are lucky enough to live in a country where you can do that, then you must do that. And in Western countries, the door is open. There is no restriction on religious activities. So you must do that to the fullest extent. And that way you can help. That way, your body, which has been pricked by pins, you can understand the pain of others, and you're not ignoring the pain of others. That's the important thing. So we have the recipe, we have the medicine. We don't want to ignore the pain in others, because it's painful to see others suffering. But what can you do? Well, at least you can chant. Even if you can't speak, at least you can chant Hare Krishna. If you're no good at doing, if you're a good outgoing person, then you can give someone a book and talk to them. But there's something everybody can do to help. And that's the important thing in this life. And that's the important thing about this verse. This verse is all about responsibility. It's about responsibility. Without responsibility, it's not considered to be human life. And Manigriva and Nalakuvera were acting without responsibility. They got their parents' money. Their father is Kuvera. Kuvera is the treasurer of all the demigods. And they had unlimited money and wealth. They're not just sons of rich men, they're sons of the richest man, endowed with all the prowess that a demigod would have. But they didn't have the responsibility that goes with it. They were sort of playboys. And therefore, if you have great wealth and no responsibility, it just will take you to hell. So that's why, if you look at the Western countries, places like America, God bless it, and places like in Western countries, in Europe, places like that, the great wealth has not brought great morality. We've got four principles of morality that we hold on to in ISKCON. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, and no gambling. But the immense wealth in the West, and now also in China, it's enormous wealth, immense wealth does not bring necessarily greater morality. And we will see how in the next verses that you get tomorrow and the day after, that Narada Muni is directly addressing the connection between wealth and sinful activity, and especially in relation to Manigriva and Nalakuvera. And we actually understand, if you go back in America, or you go back in Europe, you go back 100 years, you will see a very, very different morality is in both those countries when they did not have the money. So there's a direct relationship between money and immorality. And as I say, Narada Muni deals with that in the next few verses. But the first thing is that when you know what suffering is, you will not want to inflict the same on other ones, unless you are very, very proud. So that is the takeaway. And wealth brings great pride. So thank you very much for coming to the class. I think there's 10 minutes there. It finishes at 9. If there's no questions, we can finish now. But if there are any questions, yes, please. Thank you.
Yeah.
The lovely question, a beautiful question. And Narada Muni, the word curse is used in inverted commas here. When Narada Muni was talking to Nalakuvera Manigriva, it's a curse in inverted commas. He never curses anyone. A curse is something you do in anger. And Narada Muni never, ever, he cannot become angry. He can only pretend. So what Narada Muni did was, to correct a child, you sometimes have to slap it. That's not cursing the child. That's correcting the child. So Narada Muni, he didn't actually curse Nalakuvera and Manigriva. They were lucky. They did something very... They were going the wrong path with all their money. They were just enjoying with girls and they lost all their good sense. So, and they were... Everything was there. They were also intoxicated. Everything was there. So Narada Muni decided to help them because their next birth, they would have nothing. Everything would be taken away because of their sinful activity. So Narada Muni decided to help them. And to help them, he had to stop them being so proud. So he gave them a big slap, made them take birth as trees. And after they learned their lesson, they saw Lord Krishna, they gave their obeisances, and what happened? They went back to the heavenly planets, resumed their roles, but in a reformed way. And they were reformed. And that's what the prism system is there. They got reformed. So no, Narada Muni would never, ever get angry, and therefore he never actually curses anyone. So if Narada Muni curses you, you're a very lucky person. So we should all try to get cursed by Narada Muni somehow. But maybe Chinnanivas or Pankajangri or Puruji can give us an idea how we can get cursed by Narada Muni, or if that's advisable. But everybody ends up the better for it. Even when he told Kamsa to kill all the children of Devaki as they were born, all those children were destined to die anyway, and they got a huge benediction by being killed like that. And they were also Krishna's brothers. So that's an incredible benediction in itself. So they weren't objecting. They got more than they wanted out of it. So the question was, Narada Muni didn't curse anybody. And it's just, that's curse in inverted commas. It's not a real curse. It's a blessing he gave them. And we should certainly never curse anyone. A devotee is the well-wisher of every living entity. Because like Narada Muni, when we see someone doing something wrong, we realize it's our fault because we are not preaching enough to help them. We should be doing more in the world individually and helping them like Srila Prabhupada helped us. And they're in illusion because because we haven't helped them, basically. So you can always turn it on yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I will. Yeah. It depends who you want to bless. I mean, I often think also, I've got people who helped me when I was young. I'd like to bless them. I like Krishna to look after, say, the Reverend Caldwell and his wife Irene, who died long ago, but who were very nice to me and bought a book from me. And then I've got people who just helped me out of the blue and did something nice. I'm wondering, how can I help them? I also wonder, you take somebody like a musician that you might have liked, whose music helped you spiritually. They had lyrics that pointed you to Krishna consciousness. Maybe you want to help that person as well. And what about all the people who we do wrong things to in our lives unnecessarily? The grief we give to parents, the grief we give to children. How do we cope with all the wrong things? How do we send our blessings to those people that we've wronged as well? So, how do we give blessings to people that we see on the street? When people are still alive, at least we can give people prasadam, if possible. Maybe they'll reject it, but at least we can give people prasad. The best blessing is to give them Krishna consciousness, a nice book. But sometimes it may not be possible in this life. So if they get some prasadam, it's very good for them in their next life. If they can touch a book or buy a book, even if they don't read it, it will go forever. So, and if we want to give blessings in our heart, we can always pray to Krishna that he please look after the people that we want to bless that come from our past. And actually we should want to really bless everyone we've ever known in this lifetime. From the time of our birth that's ever come in contact with us. Because we are so lucky that we have got Srila Prabhupada's teachings, which are actually realistic. We actually understand that we are not these bodies. We understand that we are a soul, that there is more to life than just our identity as whoever we are, and our activities, which will be snuffed out and forgotten. In so many years' time, I will be as famous as Queen Elizabeth, or President Trump, or Galileo. Just give a little bit more time. Everybody gets forgotten. There isn't anything here. The place is empty. But what we can do is in this great empty space, if we're lucky enough to have some connection with Krishna, to try to use that to breathe some meaning into the lives of others. And that we do. Prabhupada gave us the tools to do that. And that's working within ISKCON to try to help ISKCON develop as a society, because it's the vehicle through which everything happens. And as I say, if you're able to distribute books to people safely, then you should do that. Coronavirus is here, you shouldn't be contacting people. But still you can chant your rounds properly. Take the opportunity to read books so that you can explain the philosophy better to people in a more way. There's nothing in this verse that we had today from Srimad Bhagavatam that is remotely religious. There's nothing in this verse that anyone can disagree with. It's totally acceptable by everybody. And yet it's the basis of human life. You should not, if you feel something yourself, you should not, and it's bad, you should not apply it to any other person. And so it's there. So that's what you can do. To give your blessings to others, you pray to Lord Krishna, do what Prabhupada asked you to do, there's four principles, you please chant your rounds, and help ISKCON grow. Because ISKCON is the vehicle that carries Srila Prabhupada's message. And so work on that way. Is that okay? So, thank you very much for attending. It's very exciting for me. And may Krishna bless you all, everyone. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai Jagannath. Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai. Hare Krishna.